for those looking to live outside the box of religious performance and inside the love of an awesome Father, this is The God Journey.
Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson.
I'm Joni Menard.
Hi, Joni. And we are in Edmond, Oklahoma, visiting a group of folks that hang around a thing called Conversations and a little coffee shop thing, and you're part of a group of women here, mostly women. There's some men that are attached to it as well. So I thought Joni would be perfect. I always get the criticism. We don't get the women's voice on here enough, so at least we're going to get the women's voice.
And his high-raised voice will not do.
My high-raised voice will not do. I get blamed for not bringing the feminine perspective to the podcast, but it has never been in my desire to bring the feminine perspective to the podcast. So I like women to do that when I can get some of them to actually come on and do some talking. So Joni was brave enough this time. I think I asked you last time. I was...
In fact,
you were at my place. You were out with Sarah and I. Yeah. Your husband was with you.
Yeah.
And now I'm staying in your home while I'm here. And so we thought it might be a good time to see you, longtime listener to the podcast and a frequent commenter on the blog. So what do you think? What do you see? What's been valuable for you in this experience of listening to The God Journey? How's it helped your journey? Maybe we'll start there. And then maybe what's missing? What could we talk about that would be helpful?
I think what's funny is you are so clueless about what's missing, other than you know you didn't want to... About the feminine.
Why do you mean I'm clueless? Why would you say it that way?
Well,
I don't think I'm clueless.
I mean, you kind of know...
I just don't think I can provide it. I'm under no illusion that I can provide it.
I know. I know.
And so the only way we've been able... I mean, we get a lot of letters. What I love about the God Journey dialogue is, one, there's a lot of men involved in the dialogue. And about spiritual things, that's not always common. It's more women, easier to get them in this dialogue. So I love the fact there's a lot of guys posting on the blog, commenting, that kind of thing. But there's also an awful lot of women who are commenting as well and asking questions. And so I think we've got a good mix of that dialogue.
You do. And I do love the dialogue. And yeah. I loved that you did one with four other guys.
Yeah.
I think. And I think that I usually run on a treadmill when I'm listening to it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I wish right after that we could do four women that are kind of been on the journey for a while.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And could sit in dialogue.
Maybe that's a podcast you could do.
Okay, oh, Wayne, you just give me all your work.
Well, school me on what, when women say, I wish you had more women voices on the God Journey, school me a little bit. What would that mean for them? What do you think they mean? And I know it's probably a lot of different, it's probably impossible to say everybody means the same thing, but what do you think are some of the things that women would more hunger for a female perspective, a feminine perspective of these things?
And I think it goes deep. I don't know how deep we're going to go, but...
We'll go as deep as you want to go. I'll swim on any end of the pool, the shallow end, the deep end. It don't matter to me.
Because I think the feminine soul...
The feminine soul. Well, that sounds really...
Designed very differently.
I grant you. I live with one.
I know.
I grant you that.
So that's what's not explored. Or shared. It is shared in the comments. You can see the threads through the comments. Mm-hmm. To the responses to the podcast, responses to the blog. You know, and I guess that's why I do some of that. I don't send everything.
You don't send everything you write?
Uh-huh.
I'm grateful for that,
I know,
actually.
I know you are grateful.
Joni's a bit more like my sister than most sisters are. So we tend to have a snarky relationship engaged that are...
I'd like to tease you. You remind me of my brothers.
There you go.
I have four brothers and...
Yeah,
and you even your
you had four brothers, and you had four sons. So
yes.
you're really big on the male perspective.
I am.
No wonder you're competing for the place of the feminine soul. That's good. Well, just tell people about who you are. That's probably a good place to start because people are going, "Who's Joni and what's she on here for?" But you've seen her comments on the thing. But you're a mom. You've had four kids.
Yes.
One passed away shortly after birth, a few months.
Yes.
So you've been through that.
Crib death SIDS.
Mm-hmm. And your journey, been a believer all your life, come to faith later in life?
Raised in the church in the Episcopal wing.
The Episcopal arm of the body of Christ?
Yeah. Which was a compromise between my parents and my dad. Actually, interesting.
One was Catholic and one was Jewish, so they chose Episcopal wing. It was a compromise.
Well, my mom is kind of in the metaphysical New Age end
of
Christianity. And my dad.
So you're the opposite of that would be what, a fundamentalist Pentecostal wacko?
Kind of like you. I'm kidding.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Wow. She's not kidding. She actually believes that about me. But it doesn't bother me because I know I'm not a Pentecostal wacko. I mean, I believe in the Holy Spirit doing wonderful things. So
what is in contrast for me is that, and it seems like a lot of people who listen and a lot of people you dialogue with come from environments where God is angry with you. Has a big stick.
Yep.
Waiting to, what do they call it, whack-a-mole, yeah. I come from the antithesis of whack-a-mole God, which would be...
Wow. He pops up in various ways and you whack him?
Yeah. That God is angry with you. I did not
God is angry.
Grow up.
So God's the one whacking the moles? You're the mole. God's not the
Have
mole.
Have you not heard of whack-a-mole? It's a game.
I know the game, but I couldn't figure out why God was the mole. But God's not the mole. God's the whacker.
God's the whacker.
You're the mole. Mm-hmm. I got it.
But I've never believed that. I've never lived like that. But I feel like a lot of tradition that you address... That people come out of that. And a lot of people I sit with come out of that.
You help a lot. A part of your deal is you're a homemaking mom and a volunteer.
Right.
You don't have a work outside the home, right?
Right.
But you spend a lot of time as part of this conversations thing and even beyond it, just
hanging
walking women down part of this journey. Cool.
Kind of what you get to do, but not as worldwide. Kind of like the guy in the Jake book.
I'll buy you a ticket. You can go worldwide. I'll stay home with Sarah. It'd be great.
There you go again, trying to give me your work.
What a deal. Absolutely.
No.
I'm always trying to pass it off.
I'm very happy.
Except the people who want it are not the ones you want to have it. It's exactly this kind of thing. Oh, no, not me. Don't give it to me. I go, okay, now I'm more interested. The people I meet on this journey who want to do what I do often don't have the heart to do. I mean, it's more about them, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I had no idea.
So even denying it makes you more qualified, is my point.
Oh, okay. There you go. You're still trying to give me your work.
Yeah, absolutely.
No,
I'm not
you,
even
Mike.
Denying that. But
I am
so you help women on this journey.
And it's very, well, and men, and married couples, and kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it runs the gamut.
Great.
But we're in the Bible Belt, so we get a lot of people that believe in the scary God. Jesus was...
The whack-a-mole God.
Guy coming and doing things behind God's back. And
yeah.
I mean, that's really a big piece of it. But I was not raised in that environment. I had the opposite childhood. You know, and if you'd asked me as a little kid, you know, fill in the blank, God is blank,
uh-huh.
I would put love in there.
Oh, good. Is that because you're quoting scripture or because you really felt like that was true?
That's...
But when you lost your son and you felt guilt over some stuff, did any of that play into it that God was... I mean, we mentioned a little bit of that we were talking this morning.
Yeah, and I think it's one coin, two sides. Either people come up out of childhood with, I am a piece of low life.
Very, very diplomatic. She warned me her mouth might be difficult in the podcast. Low life is good.
All my friends are laughing.
Yeah, that's great.
Very hilarious.
I think it is hilarious.
And then the other side is the side. See, I felt like I came into young adulthood with, I don't need a savior. I am wonderful.
Okay.
But, you know, and then the other side of that same coin is I am not worthy. And so I come from that opposite.
That's the other side of the same coin.
Yes.
Is it really?
I think so.
Well, the feminine soul is confused.
He's just dying to say that.
I've got it noted right here, so I'll say it 20 more times in the podcast. No, so
And then he wonders why no one joins the club.
That's right. I'll make sure it doesn't happen again.
See what I mean about clueless? Are you catching on?
No, I don't agree with the clueless at all. I think I'm very clued in, but it's more fun letting you badger me to death. But I when you're talking about either God's angry or I'm wonderful enough, I don't need salvation or be saved, but that's the opposite side of the I'm worthless piece of low life.
I guess it's all prodigal. I guess it's one coin of the prodigal, because you describe two roads, one being rebellion, one being religion.
Yep.
On the prodigal story.
Yeah.
And I would live in a lot of denial about having any part of a pharisaic heart, but that's not true. Okay. You can be anti-religion and be...
So it's just difficult to put anybody in a box. I mean,
right.
You can feel wonderful, blah, 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 and God deserves me, or I don't need him, or whatever, but then still have the moments that drive you to, but I'm a piece of lowlife.
And what broke in me was trying to make life work in my own power.
Okay.
And not to win away into heaven. It's more of that earthly credit kind of stuff. I wanted people to know I'm a good person. Wanted to be that mom that all the kids wanted to be around. You know, you have all these ideals as a young person, and I think that's what just absolutely ended.
So you felt like somehow the fact that Daniel died diminished who you were? Or you were responsible?
My mothering took a hit.
Okay.
For sure. And
he had one child before, Daniel.
And I will tell you, everyone who loses a child, that mother takes a hit. Her mothering takes a hit.
In the sense of blame, or how do you mean that?
Of not being, God's not happy.
Okay, so it's not, I'm a bad mother so much, but God is punishing me somehow?
That's in there too. Like, okay. You know, because it didn't happen to Susie. She gets to keep all her kids.
Right.
So what is different with me? How did this happen to me?
Yeah.
Kind of, you know.
Well, that's true about all suffering, wouldn't you say?
I would.
I mean, the loss of a child is a huge hit.
It's huge.
You can't argue that.
It's huge.
But whether it's cancer diagnosis, whether it's, I mean, we always go to, why me and why not them? Whether that's a specific person or... Mm-hmm. Particularly if it's the bad people around our life, we like to think this would only happen to bad people. But then we're kind of putting ourselves in that. I must be bad for some reason because it happened to me.
Right. I think it just takes a hit. I don't know how else to describe it.
That's like a great description. No, I don't think we need more than that.
You become insecure about it. Mine was completely denied it. Because everything about SIDS, they'll tell you. I mean, they tell you.
So it was SIDS.
It was SIDS, okay. And every 20 minutes they tell you, you did not cause this. You did not cause this. But they're doing all this research. So every time there was a research breakthrough, you know, I would sink for a little bit. Oh, if I had just done that. Because the research will expose things that we are doing. Because our rate of crib death is higher than in most countries.
Hmm.
And, you know, so it's not a huge research section because...
Right.
All you have is autopsy to deal with. So that's a challenging area of research. But and I was in denial of mine, but I had been around people, even really younger friends that had lost babies, and they just seemed really insecure about their mothering. And I felt like I was in denial about that. Almost... like I would let Nathan do things. I was not afraid. I could climb really tall things. And I made sure that I didn't hover. You know, to make, because you try to compensate. You try to keep things safe. Because what gets blasted when a child dies is that this is not a safe planet.
Would it have been different if... child would have died of some disease? The fact that it was SIDS, is that more of a commentary on motherhood, do you think? Is that a bigger hit?
I think so, and they can't explain it.
For you. You don't have the other experience, so you really don't know. But
yeah, that's true.
But you can say, because I'm wondering if there's the blame thing comes into it. And
it's ancient. You know, everybody points to the scriptures that happened in, they first record that incident with Solomon, that was probably a SIDS event where that baby died. Sleeping in the bed with the mom.
Hmm.
And they think that's probably what...
they think, but
you
have to do the research on that, too.
I think so. But that's what died for me.
But the sense that this isn't a very safe world, and which I think is true. I think that's part of that disillusioning that's painful to realize. And if you've grown up in the last 50 years in America... where things have been fairly good, things have upwardly mobile economically, medical science able to do so much to mitigate some of the diseases and things we face. We have really, I think it's I don't think people would have to be as disillusioned with that reality 150 years ago as it impacts us today. We talked about that. Mothers losing half their kids.
And I told you, I was very aware of that even when this happened, that there are places on the planet where I would be considered a blessed mother for having only lost one.
Before. Yeah.
And I was, and even, you know, and I think I did tell you this, this is not my first severe loss. When I was 16, my father died in a car accident on his way home from work. Hmm. And then 6 months later, the only friend I had made in this area that we had moved to in southern Missouri, she died in a car accident that I was supposed to be in. And when my dad died, other people asked, my brothers asked that, or, you know, that question always comes up with death and dying, why me? And I immediately had that response to that. That wasn't a question that comes up in me. What comes up in me is always, why not me?
Hmm.
I didn't struggle with that piece.
And what do you mean, why not me?
Well, because it happens.
Because
it is a broken planet. Right. There is a, I love that. There's a Leonard Cohen song about that this world has there's a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in. And that reality I know really well.
And Scripture doesn't hide from that reality.
No.
Scripture is very clear that,
and
it's amazing how much God gets blamed for stuff. When we were reading Sarah and I Ecclesiastes recently, it's a weird book to read together, but we were reading it together, and there was one line in it about God made everything wonderful and man has ruined it. And it really puts the onus on the brokenness of the culture that sin has brought to our world, and the prince of the power of the air gets to rule in this life until Jesus takes him under his feet. And so there's no hiding in Scripture the fact this world is incredibly broken. And even God's not the one saying, I'm blaming you guys for it. It's just broken, and I want to rescue you out of it. And I think that's a godly, I think it's a wonderful place to come to, but we often get there in places of pain, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Maybe not unfortunately, but.
I think that's the tool,
often.
Because the choice to me in the garden was a real choice. And so the tool, we were talking about this earlier about Oswald Chambers, but this is one thing I agree with him. He said, I think it was him.
We weren't talking negatively about Oswald Chambers so much.
There's
one thing I like.
Oops.
No, we're just saying it was more meaningful to us reading him when I was more, is what we're saying, most for his highest is the book we're talking about. I used to read that as a devotional all the time and just nurtured it, but it nurtured my performance need in some ways. There's some other great stuff in Oswald Chambers, but part of it, that's what we were talking about earlier, part of it kind of nurtured that. And now when you read it on this side of the journey, you look back going, okay, he had some revelation, obviously, and then there's some other things that are part of God is bringing us along to understand there's a different way to live than on our own performance. But
he quotes, I think it's Lamentations, that sorrow is good for your heart.
Yeah.
And that is what I experientially learned.
Hmm.
That is the truth. This was the worst day and the best day. I count it as my last day of trying to live life under my own agenda, my own strength, the day my son died.
And is that what began a different phase in your Jesus journey? I mean, from more of an Episcopal God in the background, don't really need him kind of thing, to more aggressively wanting to find out who he is?
Yeah.
Started, how long ago would that be?
28.
Without dating you, of course.
28 years ago.
Okay.
So I've been on it for a while.
You have?
I have.
Cool.
I have. And I was going to finish saying what he said, and I wanted to say, when you were talking about Ecclesiastes in the garden, Eve's heart was not to do something bad.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
She thought she was doing good.
Well, she was trying to do something good.
Well, I know, and there's lots of evil in this world that's real blatant and obvious. We were talking, some of your talk at night up here at Conversations has been about the kingdom of darkness.
Yeah, don't give it away. It's still a secret. We're not telling anybody.
He's actually giving me this look like people are looking at us.
Don't talk about it. We cannot talk about it yet. We're fighting it.
But that, you know, that... The intention, our intent, that the consequences of our choices. Some we honestly believe our choices are good and godly, and the sideways consequences is actually evil.
Yeah.
It's really hard, I think, to grasp. Anyway, his point that has helped me process a lot of that loss was the choice in the garden was real. And if they had chosen the other way, then the tool that would have been used to plumb the depths of human soul would have been joy. But because of the choice that they made, so the tool in God's hands to plumb the depth of my soul has been a lot of pain. And what's cool is when I actually go to my real home, I mean, I have a glimpse of home. Mm-hmm. I am home. I'm not searching at all anymore.
Okay.
At all.
And so a glimpse of your real home. What did that mean?
Heaven. When I do get to really be on that other side, then there's still more soul to plumb, and joy will be the experience of that.
And oh, that's how you see it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which I think is really cool.
Cool. Not just for the feminine soul. We all get to do that too. Just checking.
You're not going to be near me in heaven. Because
I'm not.
I'm going to be
on the
rock
other side
of heaven because I'm going to be on the rock and roll side.
Oh, music stuff. Yeah, well, you're welcome to that side of it.
Yes, yeah. I was thinking that yesterday when I was treadmilling and I was listening
doing rock and roll stuff and go, thank gosh, I won't be anywhere near Wayne in eternity.
people that don't like rock and roll because I thought, anyway.
I don't dislike rock and roll. I just find all music to be a little cumbersome. But that's another song. That's another story for another day. So you're saying that sorrow is often the place where God leads us into transformation. And I think that's almost always true. It seems like moments of loss and grief and pain and being exploited by somebody else or whatever, that kind of opens you up to, my joy is not in this world. It can't be, because this world doesn't work the way.
It's experience the Paschal mystery. It is a death, not a physical death.
Paschal, that was a fancy word. That was an Episcopalian word not everyone on the God journey is going to get. So by Paschal, you mean?
Too bad for you.
I'm just saying. I understood it. Don't get me wrong here. It's not that I didn't understand it. I just thought it was a fancy ecclesiastical word.
Sorry.
For one wing of the body of Christ, or a couple of wings. But by Paschal, you meant?
Life. Death. Resurrection. Life.
The passion.
Yep. Experiencing the passion.
Yeah.
And we avoid it.
We avoid the suffering end of it. We try and skip all that and just get to resurrection life.
Very much so.
Give me the goodies.
But, you know, it makes it sound, I don't know how it's coming across if we even air this, but that, and what I get confronted with people, so I haven't suffered enough. So what if I've never had the death of a child, the death of a father, the betrayal of deep friendship, and lots of other stuff? So is there a path to transformation that doesn't include a severe mercy?
I don't know that there's a path through life that escapes suffering.
I don't either.
See, I don't know the person.
Yeah.
And maybe all those people are doing something else and we don't intersect with them. But
that's probably true.
I think life is pretty much painful. Even if on the one side you've got lots of money and can do whatever you want, those lives end up in very painful places too. So
I had a friend that got very early in the journey, because I recognized this early, that this is really a gift.
This
pain.
Pain is a gift. You see God as the cause?
No.
Good. No. So it's not a gift from God, but just God is at work in pain to give us a gift
of
life.
It's a tool.
Yeah.
Because the choice was real.
The garden choice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so, you know, I had a really, really dear friend. She came up with our boys. She had boys. I had boys. They were little. We were all at church. And she almost, you know, was whispering to me, you don't pray for your kids to suffer, do you? And I was like, oh, Daddy, that's ridiculous. Mm. I know that that's going to be a part of their life. I don't have to pray for that.
Yeah, Brené Brown says we were born for struggle. We were born for challenge. And I do, because the illusion is if I do okay with God, my life should be smooth and nothing bad should happen to me. And everything bad that happens, there's two choices. One, to go into the crisis of faith, which is obviously God doesn't love me, or I haven't earned it, or I'm unworthy. And that's one road. And the other road is, okay, God, what do you want to show me? How does this enlarge my life and my space? And Scripture's always exhorting it to that. Jesus saying, as long as you're in the world, you're going to have, as Brad likes to say, bone-crushing trouble. Mm-hmm. But I've overcome the world. And so the hope is, yeah, if you look at gift, okay, I wouldn't say pain is a gift. That's where I'd go. Okay, I'm not going to say that. You can. I'm fine with you saying it. I would say there's a gift in pain. That God wants to give us a gift in the midst of pain that will enlarge our tent, enlarge our borders, and draw us to Him. And I think most would prefer God do that through just expanding my tent, just blessing me. Mm-hmm. But it often, because the world is just structured so well with pain and people misusing relationships and the kinds of things that people get hurt, provides an awful lot of opportunity for God to get underneath the surface of our lives and get to where life that really is life.
And I think people, I wanted to raise this question last night. I'm wondering about the resistance to the message of the good news. There's just so much resistance to it. Even to the, like, even just saying pain is a gift. Hmm. You know, there's a little pushback there. But there's a fear of experiencing it. So we, and that's just makes sense. Who wants to do that? But you have done a lot of study with Larry Crabb, mm-hmm, and company, and done two schools of spiritual direction with him. And he describes that as a cliff jump that you get to make into pain.
What's the cliff jump? That pain's a gift?
Uh-huh. And a death experience. That and a lot of really, I would describe, he doesn't use this language, that religion is a protective bubble to not experience the passion experientially as a believer. So you avoid this cliff jump, this thing you get to do that is going to be painful because you're going to go into the dark place, and I call it holy dark because it belongs. And
it belongs. What does that mean?
It's not an accident. Pain and suffering's not something that God's not in. Just like the shack shared.
Yeah, no, God's in it. I guess what I said to you earlier, you said pain's a gift, and I said from God, and you said no. Because that's what I think people hear when they hear it's a gift.
Okay.
That's the only thing I'm dealing with.
Okay.
I agree. Everything you're saying about pain, yeah, it invites us into deeper space. Place where my borders have been expanded and my world became more expansive and God became more real. It was always
Amen.
In a place of pain.
Amen.
Joy didn't bring it. I enjoy joy. I never push joy away. I embrace the good times, let them roll when they're there. I embrace those. But at the same time, I realize when something turns dark or painful in my life, that there's going to be good fruit come from it. So I'm all about that.
Joy does the same thing though.
It can.
I'm not talking happiness. You know, real joy does the same expanding.
Okay. So we'll flesh that out a little bit. What do you mean by that?
You know, I've had so many moments of it. And I'm going to sound crazy.
It's okay, because most people who know you would.
I mean, I've been overwhelmed in the middle of the grocery store at the Walstar with just the fragrance of navel oranges from California.
And that joy
went
from navel oranges, expanded your world in a way that helped me.
I knew I was in the presence.
Okay. But was it transformative?
Yeah.
In the same way that pain is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, people will think you're crazy, but that's good.
Okay.
I'm okay with joy being that. Yeah, I just think that, I think my comment was the bigger victories in my time have been won out of pain, and I've seen joy then. Like, we shared pretty honestly what Sarah and I went through this last summer and fall. the joy that comes from that now in our relationship, I see it as the fruit of that. So,
but it can also do that same thing. I think we minimize it, skip it, or get attached to it. You can get attached to it.
I don't ever minimize joy. I don't think. I don't ever do. I'm not trying to beat it up because I love it.
Yeah.
But I do see it as often it's the fruit of a deeper thing God's doing. And it may be the next catalyst for the next deep thing he's doing. So I'm not getting people to volunteer for pain and despise joy. But I do think it's important that when we go through stuff like pain, and we talk about there being a gift in it of God's life, and so rather than resist it, embrace God in the pain.
That's it.
That's a hard thing for people to do.
It's a cliff jump. It is literally a cliff jump.
Oh, everything in us says, if I yield to this, it will get worse. I think that's the lie. The fact is, if you can just embrace it, and then God makes himself known in it, and now you get to learn something about you that will be because God's inviting you into bigger space.
There's a lot of lie that prevents people, I think, from doing it, and that he's not going to be there. I get mostly, this is good, great words, Joni. I'm glad that you have these experiences, but I think for other people, when it's an invitation for them to make the cliff jump, there's this fear that there's not going to be anything there, that he's absent, or the rope's going to slip. Or
maybe I don't matter.
Yeah, and I get that a lot from women, really from people. I've sat with as many men, I think, that have questioned, why does God care about us? What do I mean to him? Do I mean anything?
And it's funny because we were talking about that letter from Tommy last week, and we can see it with our own children. They matter to me even before they produce anything, do anything, And now with older kids, they don't have to do anything for me to value them and love them and care about them. Even though they're doing lots of wonderful things, I don't love them because of the things they do. I don't value them because of the things they do. And I certainly don't expect them to do anything for me to be. I want them doing the things that God's given them to do in their own lives. But there is that feeling that I can see it in my kids, but I can't make the jump between God and me. And what do you say to people that are at that point? If you were talking to someone like Tommy,
I guess what I hear from her, what I hear in the one precious souls that I am privileged to sit with, is that it goes back to identity, and that's the core piece that's missing.
And it's been diminished in some way,
right? They do not know how deeply loved by God they are.
They do not know how deeply loved by God they are. That is as profound a statement as I get to hear in a year's time. That strikes to the heart of everything that we struggle with. Everything. Where we know that we're loved, we get to live free. Where we don't know that we're loved, the stresses, anxieties, and despairs of life can be overwhelming. So it's only inside that relationship where God gets to make himself known to us that the most critical things in life get resolved. Now, I've got good news and bad news regarding Joni. The good news is this conversation went on for quite a while. The bad news is we couldn't press it all into one podcast. We take off from that, learning how deeply loved we really are by God, and explore it further. We'll pick it up next week here at The God Journey.
Thank you for traveling with us on The God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com,